Left open up some Chalal and Aleph. So we were discussing if a get was handed over to a shlish, to a third party. Everybody agrees that the get was given to this third party. The problem is that we're not sure why it was given to the third party. So the husband claims that it was given to the shlish simply for safekeeping. And the shlish is claiming that it was given to him because he was also representing the woman who was a shlish of the Kabbalah. So who has that manos in this area? So it was machlokes amoraim. So who is going to try to bring proofs from the Mishnah? Who is going to be ne'eman? So we pick it up in Sefer Gedalim and Aleph. So it's about 12 lines up at the top. The first line is v'chein l'shtaros. So it's the end of that line. So tanan, we learned in our Mishnah isha she'amra iskab legiti tzvicha shtei ki de'edim. So the Mishnah says that if a woman appoints somebody to receive a get on her behalf, so we have to be absolutely certain that that is the role that he's playing. So we have to be certain that he was actually appointed to do that, and we have to be certain that he actually received the get. So yes, the Gemara, why do we have to go and look around for witnesses to testify? He's holding the get. He's the shlish. He has a get that says the husband's name, the wife's name. He's holding on to it. So obviously he received it. So he answers the Gemara, no. Mika nafigita mitose yadit. So he Taka doesn't have the get. That's the whole problem in the Mishnah. Because as the Gemara is going to explain that they used to rip up the get immediately after it was given because the Goyim had made laws against giving gittin. The Romans were killing them, the same way they didn't let them blow shofar, they let them untar, they wouldn't let them practice the din of getin, so they would rip up the get right away. So that's exactly the problem. The only time that the shlish is believed is when he has the get in his hands, but once he has pieces of ripped paper, that doesn't mean anything. So now the Gemara is just trying to figure out, so why do we need all these different sets of edim? Tanach Amra, so I understand why we require edim that she appointed him as a shliach, but kibel amali. Why do we need Edim that he received the get? We see he received the get. He's walking around with the get in his hand. So what do you need Edim for? So Amar Rava, Hamani Rabbi Elazahi, the Amar Edim Mesirikar say. This is a throwback that we spent a lot of time last year talking about. It was a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. What the primary role of Edim are in a get? Everybody agrees that a get requires Edim, but it's unclear at which stage of the process of a get do you need the Edim. So according to Rabbi Meir, the critical edim, or at least one set of the critical edim, are the edim chasiba. They have to sign in the get. According to Rabbi Meir, we have a get that's written but not signed, so that's batal min haTorah. That's not a get at all. And Rabbi Loza says, no, Loza says, you don't even have to sign the get. Min haTorah for sure not, and probably even min drabanan enough to sign a get. Why do we sign get then? We sign get because just in case we have to prove we have a question about the authenticity of the get in 20 years from now, so if you're going to go looking around for the edim and see they may not be alive anymore. But according to the laws of the Iker, Edim on a get are the Edim Mesira. And the absence of Edim Mesira, the get is no good. So the Gemara says that's why we require Edim Kabbalah say get. So Korolamali. So why do we rip the get in the first place? Why is the Mishnah always speaking about the ripping of the get? That this particular line in the Mishnah does not tell you you're required to rip a get. If you live in a time when it's dangerous, you better make sure to rip up the get. So today, what we do is after a get is given, we don't rip it into pieces. We rip it in a way that it would no longer be effective. And then the Beis Din holds on to it. The reason why, even though the days of Chazal, the woman would hold on to the get, it's a little bit of a risky thing because if the woman's holding on to the get, somebody may throw a curveball to get later. Someone's going to say in 10 years, oh, you see that get? It's, the name's spelled wrong, the place is wrong, the date's right. They're going to start to be multi-loss on the get. We don't want that to happen. So what we do is that the Beis Din actually takes the get back from the woman. Then they write her a tour, they write her a document that says that they hereby authorize the get. And now, based on this document signed by the three Dayanim, then she can go ahead and remarry. If a woman today is walking around with a get, that's not a good time. That means that the Beis didn't know what they were doing. So now the Gemara goes back to the Machlokes Amoraim about whether the Shalish is believed or not. to Rav Huna, it said that the shlish is not believed. The third party is not believed. So Amar Rava. So Rava qualifies that lack of nemanis of the shlish. Umode Rav Huna, the e amra e l'didi amali shlish l'gevish yavini alei behemna. So Rava says that Rav Huna would agree that if the woman says that the shlish told me that he got it as a get, if the shlish himself tells the woman that he received the petaras git and not as a pikadot, then he's going to be believed. Yes, the Gemara Mika media the shlish gufei l'mehemna. I don't understand the Gemara. If the shlish himself would walk in the basin and say, I was given the get as the Torah's get. The husband yelling and screaming, I gave it as a pikadon. I gave it just to hold on to. I never intended you to receive the get. And the shlish would walk in and say, I received it as a get. So Rav Huna says, forget it, he's not neman. So now that the woman says that the shlish said, so she's going to be believed. Her entire statement is based on testimony of the shlish, and the shlish himself is not believed. So obviously that cannot be true. How is the woman going to be more powerful than the shlish himself? The Gemara says, no, what it means is as follows. Ella I amra kamoi didi ligerish and yavin yalei mehemna. That if she says that I was there when it happened, she's not basing herself on what the shlish said. It's not a third party, a broken telephone. She's saying that I was there when the shlish received the get on my behalf, so that would be acceptable. Because she could have just simply said that the husband gave it to her directly. Well, she had to tell her home with the shlish. So it's like, amigo, she could have said directly that she got the get. So she's believed to say that the shlish received it on her behalf. So now the Gemara says, what if the following? What if Baal Omer Legevishin, Ushlish Omer Legevishin, he Omeres Nasan Leva Avad? So everybody seems to be telling the same story. The husband saying that he gave it for Gerushin. The Shlish is saying that he got it for Gerushin. And she's saying that I had to get, but now it's lost. So everybody's telling the same story except for us. We're not sure that anyone here is believed. Nobody has to get. At the end of the day, there's no piece of paper here. So I have one guy walking in and saying that a woman's not an Ishish. And I have a woman saying she's not an Ishish. And another guy saying that. So is that an Eidus or not? At the end of the day, this is a Davar Shebi Erva. And the basic rules that govern Davar Shebi Erva is that you have to have two Eidim testify. So here you don't have two Eidim. The Baal's not an Eid, he's a Baal Dover. So the Shlish is an Eid, he's an Eid Echot. The woman's not, she's a Baal Dover, she's an Isha. So at the end of the day, you don't have any bona fide Eidus here. So yes, wait a second, why don't we go back to where we started? Doesn't the shlish have that built-in nemanos? Isn't once he's appointed as a shlish, isn't he absolutely neman? The Gemara says, "Mika nafik gitim intosa yadil emne." He doesn't have to get. That's exactly the point. The get is lost. We said before, when is a shlish possibly neman? Even not everyone agrees, but when is a shlish possibly neman? If he's walking around with the get, so that's a really, really good proof that he's probably in fact telling us the honest story. But here he's a guy walks in and says, "By the way, I'm a shlish." Me, some full of shlish. I didn't know you were shlish. I don't ever even get to show it. So the shlish is not going to be believed. So yes, the Gemara, the Lehemil about, why don't we believe the husband? If the husband walks into Beis Din, and he says that he divorced his wife, so let's believe him. The Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abin Amar Biyochanan. If a husband walks in and there's no proof, he says that he divorced his wife, he's neman. Why is that? So the Gemara of the Baal explains, because he has amigo. It means, of course, he's telling the truth. If he wants to, he can easily divorce his wife. It's biyado to divorce his wife. So why would he lie? The general rule is that if a person doesn't have any incentive to lie, because they can easily rectify, they can easily accomplish the same goal without lying, so why in the world would they be dishonest? So says the Gemara, when the husband says that he gave the get over, why shouldn't he be believed? But Torah's Baal Shama Girashti should have one. So the Gemara says, no, Mika Ama Girashti. He didn't say that he mamish divorced her. He said that he gave it over to the shlish as a shliach laholacha. That's all he said. Now he doesn't know what happened afterwards. So the shlish is telling us that he delivered the get to the woman. The woman's telling us the story, but we don't have the nemanos of the husband here. Husband doesn't really know what happens. Husband's just saying, listen, I run again, I authorize the get, I gave it to the shlish, I told the shlish go bring it to the wife. And now what happened afterwards? Your guess is as good as mine. So the shlish is not neman because he doesn't have the get in his hand. The husband's not neman because He's not even telling us the full story. So he asked the Gemara, wait a second. Maybe we should rely on the following. Maybe we should rely on, we know for a fact that the get was given to the shlish as at least as a shlech lahalacha. That has been verified because the husband said so. And in these areas, the husband has no need, there's no reason for him to lie. So we know for a fact the get was written by the husband. We know the get was authorized by the husband. We know that the get was delivered to the shlish. Now, we don't know whether the shlish brought it to the woman or not. The shlish doesn't have a get to prove it. The wife doesn't have a leg to stand on. So we are trying to figure out on our own, did that event occur? Was the get actually delivered properly? So it comes and says, we should apply the rule called chazaka shlich also shlichuso, that there's a built-in chazaka. Chazaka means that we've assessed, this is the normal way of the world. This is how people function, this is how people act, that when somebody is appointed to be shliach, the guy does the job. If I ask you to go to the store, buy something, we can assume. The Torah is valid that you went ahead and you did that. So says the Gemara, why can't we simply rely on this chazaka to assume that the get was actually delivered properly? So the Gemara proves, how do you know there's a principle called chazaka shlecha shlechuso? So the Amr Rabbi Yitzchak had a famous din. If a person says to a shaliach, say the Tanishli Isha Stam, he appoints a shaliach to be Makadish and Isha for him. He's very, very easygoing guy. He says, listen, it's your choice. Just come back next week, bring me somebody. That doesn't make much of a difference. He doesn't go through resumes, doesn't go through lists. Anyone's good. So the problem is, Umei Shalucho. And now the shaliach dies on the trip. So the question is, do we have to assume that the shlich did his job or not? So if we can assume, the shlich did his job, then fine, no repercussions of what happened. But if you are really convinced that chazaka shlich al shavuso, then this mishalech has a huge problem. Because there is a woman out there who is his wife, and he doesn't know who that woman is. What are the ramifications of that? You can't marry anybody else. Why not? Because maybe any woman who he will marry may be the sister of his wife, maybe the mother of his wife, maybe the daughter of his wife, or the granddaughter's wife. There are a whole array of different arayas that could potentially be in place here, any woman who he chooses to marry. And why is that? Because chazaka shlecha shlichuso, because we're really convinced with certainty that the shliach did the job. So we ask the Gemara, just as we're convinced that the shliach did the job in this sugya of Omer L'shlucho, Tzeva Kadesh, so too in the realm of Gittin, if we know for a fact that the husband gave it to the shliach, we can be comfortable by saying the get was 99.99% delivered, and therefore Chazak L'shlucho, and the woman would be able to be to remarry. So this halacha has a lot of lumdus to it, just how serious we're taking. What are the parameters of this? As a big machlekes that we showed him, this is the din in the Torah. Midaraisa, the mishalech can't marry anybody anymore. So the mishalech bar with the kasher to rov. The odds are there are 100,000 girls out there. The odds that the one that you're about to marry now is the sister of the one the shaliach was makadesh last week, very very unlikely. So that's a big question. Is that a chashash for the Torah? Is that a chashash for the Rabbanon? What if now you want to marry somebody and she says, I'm telling you that. I'm not the system. I don't have a system. So that's what the Rishab discussed. All the details as to when this halacha applies. There is a vort. It's a vort, or it's hard to say. I'm not sure. A real vort, a poor vort. I'm not sure exactly where we're somewhere in the middle, but there's a vort that said that we say that love and bikesh lach or sakol. And love and try to destroy everything. Try to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. And love and try to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. So the Rashi quotes that the Medrash says that love and tried to kill Eliezer. And Eliezer was sent as a shaliach to the Kashani Shepi Yitzchak, and love and tried to kill him. And in the end, he survived. So love and tried to kill him, and then the Kesh Baruch Hu protected him. So love and became shlach as a goal. Love and would have succeeded in killing Eliezer, so then the shaliach, the Kedusha, would have been killed. So at that point, Yitzchak wouldn't have been able to marry anybody. So there's Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, his name, Amar Yitzchak, so love and begin to Shaska, a very, very long dishuk, tilful issue. It's not the Pashup Shad of what that Mar Chazal means, but I'll come find research in here about the Shlech condition. So bottom line, back to our story, so the Gemara says that it sounds like we really do believe this idea. We are willing to trust in the shliach's reliability to do his mission. So if so, we should rely on it here as well, and we should assume that the get really was given. So the Gemara says at the top of several dollar days, the Gemara says not at all so simple. Hani minu l'chumra, aval l'kula loy. I mean, just because we follow this idea of chazak shavas shiruso, that means we follow it l'chumra, means we make problems with it. But l'kula, to really rely on it, l'kula. So that's not true. So he asks the Gemara, why don't we believe the wife herself? So we're 0 for 2 now. We're not believing the shlish because he doesn't have the get anymore. We're not believing the husband because he doesn't even know whether the get was delivered. So let's believe the woman. The wife herself says that she received the get. And we have a precedent that we believe a woman to say she's been gereshed. She's been the Rav Amnuna. The Rav Amnuna. If a woman comes up to her husband, walks into the base, and the husband's standing there, and she looks him straight in the face, and she says, Gereshtani, you divorced me. Ne'emenes. Why is she believed? She's not. She's only an erech. She's not even an age. She's a psula like this. Why is she believed? Chazaka eina isham iza panef rebaila. For her to walk at the bezin and look her husband in the face and say you divorced me, and she'd be lying. Eimlucha chutzpah gedol mizo. A woman would never be able to pull off such chutzpah if the husband's not around, and she walks to the bezin and says, yeah, my husband divorced me. He'll never know I said that. So that's not a proof of anything. But she says in the presence of the husband, so Eina Isha Isa Panapate Baila. The Gemara says, no, it's not going to help here. Hani Mili Hechad Lake the Kamasayla. Well, Hechad the Messiah Isa Isa. When do we say that Chazok, that a woman would never make such a chutzpah statement? That's it. There's nobody supporting her story. She's going to walk in the middle of a vacuum and say to her husband, you divorced me. There's nobody who's saying the same thing. That's. No woman would do such a chutzpah. But here, she's got the shlish in her back pocket. So she doesn't look like such a chutzpah anymore. Now she's just saying, she's looking at the husband and saying, he's telling the truth. So that doesn't look like such a me'izah paneha. So therefore, that detracts from her nemara. So it's a strange thing. If she would have come on herself and looked the husband in the face and said, you divorced me, she would be believed. The fact that she's coming with another guy and the other guy's not believed, that undoes her, that unravels her chazaka of being a me'izah paneha re'ba'ala. The Ramah writes that we don't rely on this bizman hazeh, that a woman would walk into a beis din today and look straight in her husband's face and say, you divorced me. So the Ramah writes, we can't rely on that. You know why? The Ramah writes, chutzpah yodel oilam, this friend is azos parim in the world. People are not as timid as they were in the old days. People are a lot more mechutzah. So the Ramah is describing the very, very chutzpahdik society of the 1500s in Poland. I can't even begin to fathom what the Ramah would say in 2024 in America. So whatever it is, I don't remember which ones. I'm not sure. You have to take a look and see which chutzpahs disappears. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. So now the Mishnah continues a new din. So the Mishnah starts off with Nara Hamarasa. If you have a girl who's a Nara, so she's between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, so her father still had the ability to receive Kiddushin for her. When she's a Katana, some in that Torah, the father's allowed to receive Kiddushin for her. When she's a Nara, he's allowed to. The Gemara says Kiddushin, and Chazal said that you're not allowed to be Makabal Kiddushin for Katana. It's an Aveira to be Makabal Kiddushin for your little girl under the age of 12 because it's just a bad idea. You think you found a great Shidduch for your 5-year-old, and she's going to turn 12. I don't like this guy. So therefore, Chazal said, also, don't you guys be to Katana. She has to wait till 12. When she's 12, she can choose. You can ask her, she'll give you, but you can still be Makabal Kiddushin for her. Again, everything has to be put into a little bit of perspective. You're talking, lifespans of 30. So then, if you're going to wait till 22 to get married, that's not going to work. So the din is that Minat Torah, really the father can't recognize his daughter, which is both a Tana and a Nara. With the Rabban, you shouldn't do it until she's a Nara. Tosis writes in the second book of Kedushin that is the Rabban, Anisha, Mekanish, your daughter, when she's under the age of 12. Tosis writes it's not always. Tosis writes it's only when it's not in the best interest of the girl. Tosis writes that in their day, they used to do it. They used to Mekanish the little girls, because Tosis writes we live in the days of the Crusades. And no know what's going to happen tomorrow. So let's say the father has a little bit of money now, and he can take care of the wife of the daughter and get her into a good setup, a good shidduch at the age of 8 with the 14-year-old boy. So we should do it. Don't wait until she's 12. Who knows what's going to happen? What's going to happen then? So it's not an absolute issue across the board, but again, obviously, it's for us it would be absurd. So comes the mission and says, when you have this Nara Marasa, and now she's going to get divorced. Who is able to receive her get for her? So he ve'aviyah mekabel nizgita. So either her or her father, doesn't mean both of them, doesn't mean both together, it means either her or her father can be makabel the get and arbeah. So the reason why her father still has a hand over her is because she's only a na'ar. She's still a na'ara. She's not 12 and a half yet. She's not a gadol, not a bogeres. And she's still ma'orosa. She only had erusin. If she would have had this suin already, if she would have completed the marriage, then she leaves the father's home, lagamre, then the father has no shlit, has no control over her. So since she's still in that little bit of a window, so the father can be makabel get for her, or she herself can be makabel get. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Ein shtei adayim zeches kiyachas. Rabbi Yehuda says, the halacha can't have such a model that you have one person who has different ways, different channels of receiving get. There's only one person who can receive a get per customer. So over here, the father is more in control of herself than she is, and therefore only the father is the one who's able to accept the get. We pass it like the Chacham, like the Tanakama, and in fact, she could also theoretically receive the get. If you have a girl who can't watch her own get, say wants to be Megarish, his wife, she's all of 4 years old. So you give her a get, she doesn't even know what you're talking about. She thinks it's a joke, she thinks it's a birthday card, so she doesn't understand what getting her all about. So then she is not subject to becoming Megureshes. Even though the halacha is you don't require Dasa Isha for Gerish, you can give, in theory, Minatari, you can actually Megarish your wife against her will. Doesn't mean you should, doesn't mean it's nice, doesn't mean it's moral, ethical, but b'diyeva, the get is going to be chal. So you don't require the consent of the wife, but you do require her basic understanding, her basic idea that she knows what's going on. You give a get to a 3-year-old and she's walking around laughing with it, so that's not considered to be a kabbalah get altogether. So what is the point of contention? What's the nekudas of machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Why did the Chachamim say that the father and either father or her can receive the get? And why is Rabbi Yehuda adamant that only the father can? But Micah Miflugi, what are they arguing about? Rabbanan Sabre, Yadi Yisera Sazachal Rechamana. The Rabbanan's opinion is that the starting point is she can receive the get. She's 12 years old, so she's about that one. Why can't she receive her own get? Now the Torah is Mechadesh, that since she's still in the father's Rishua, so the father can also receive her get. That's a Yadi Yisera, Yoter. The Torah is Mechadesh, he's an additional way of receiving a get, but he's not the sole way of receiving a get. Rabbi Yehuda summon up and makam avia yadi lalav klumi. Rabbi Yehuda says no, that once the Torah gives the father the ability to receive the get, so she becomes null. She's null and void. She's batal mavuto. She has no way of accepting any get whatsoever. Now the Gemara goes back to the law in the Mishnah that the girl is too young to understand to even watch a get properly, so she's not a bas gerushin. So Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa. Tana hayodas lishma skita miskareshes. So the girl who knows how to watch a get can potentially become Megureshes. But if she doesn't know how to watch it, then she cannot become Megureshes. At what stage do we say that she's Yodas Lishmoskita? Anyone who watches her get and something else. Very unclear, very vague phrase in the Brice. What does that mean? My karma. What in the world does the Brice mean? Rabbi Yochanan of Yomar. Kol shemeres davar acher machmas gita. This called a woman, this little girl, she'll hold on to something else in place of her get. So let's say if she receives a get and then she loses the get, so she'll know that she wants to hold on to something else in its place. So she picks up some random kind of a thing and she walks around telling you, this is what my husband gave me. So the Gemara says, what? The Gemara says, Mazav Kahana Bamanach Hashek to be Almi. If a person is walking around, she got a get and then she lost it. So she's walking around with a bottle of water telling everybody, this is a place of my get. So obviously she doesn't have a clue as to what just transpired. So she's considered to be like a shaita. She's not someone who has the labas das. So she's not subject to receiving a get altogether. So Elder of Hunab Amanach, Hashayd Rav Achabed Rav Ika, we totally misunderstood what the phrase meant in the Braisa. What it means is, Koshim of Chenes Ben Gita Ludavar Acher, that she understands the difference between a get and something else, the exact opposite of what we said before. She understands that a get is a legal piece of paper that says she is divorced, whereas a walking around with something else is obviously going to be meaningless. So that's the shear. She has to at least appreciate and understand what in the world a get is all about. So now the Gemara goes to some details as to how old the child can be in order to participate in different types of chalosim. We'll talk about it again also, but in the process, we talk about other things as well, in terms of kinyanim, buying and selling, receiving presents, things of that nature. How old, how mature, how aware of what's going on must the child be? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Asi, Tzvor v'zorko, egos v'notlo. If a child is old enough to understand the difference between a pebble and a nut. So if you give the kid a pebble, he realizes that he's not going to eat it. He's smart enough to realize you can throw it, but you can't eat it. Or egos v'notlo, if you give him a nut, it'll eat it. So the kid doesn't know what's going on, he tries to bite the nut. The guy takes tries to bite the pebble, or if he takes the nut and starts throwing it at people. So you realize that the kid doesn't know what's going on. But if he's reached a point where he at least has that basic way to discern between the two, Zecheli Atzbo, that he's old enough to receive something on his own behalf. Then if I give him a matana, I give him a gift, so then he will be kind, he will acquire the gift. I give a gift to a one-year-old, doesn't know anything, that's meaningless. Give a gift to a six-year-old, so that's going to be meaningful. Zecheli Atzbo, he will be able to be zech for himself. So Tyson has a famous discussion, does that mean that Torah can be zocher? He's still under bar mitzvah, so he's still alive by das. So Tosis goes, what a pity that yes, that maybe he can be caught up in that Torah because I'm giving it to him. It's not like he's picking it up himself. If a 10-year-old kid picks up something himself, so we learned in the fifth part, he's not really kone it minatora, but if I give it to him as a gift, so Tosis coins the phrase das secheres makne oso. The Gemara has the phrase in a different context, but Tosis quotes it here, das secheres makne oso, that since I'm providing the das, I'm the nosin, I'm the mocher, so to speak, I'm giving it to his behalf, that will work with that Torah. And other Rishonim say the whole thing maybe is with the Rabbanan. Rashi seems to say that the whole sugya is all with the Rabbanan. But whatever it is, once he reaches the age that he understands a little bit, so then he can be zoicheh. The only thing is, ve'ein zoicheh le'acherim. But he can't pick up things on behalf of somebody else. We know normally there's a rule called zoicheh le'adam shalom b'fanav. I can give a gift to Reuven on behalf of Shimon. Reuven should pick up this gift, that Shimon should be kona the gift. So says the Gemara, that doesn't work for Ketanim. Even if the child's old enough to understand the little bit that he's getting a gift, that's going to work for himself. It's not going to work for him to be zeichem for somebody else. However, but if he's a more mature and he understands, let's say I lend him something, then I ask him for it back, in a week from now, and he gives it back. That's just not crying, that's not 12:50. He understands that I gave it to him, I have to give it back. So that's a higher level of understanding. So then he can even be zeicher for other people as well. So when Rabbi Yehuda heard this from his Rabbi, Rabbi Asi, then he went to Shmuel and he repeated this in front of Shmuel. And Shmuel said to him, Amali, David da achasi. So Shmuel said, no, that those two shiurim, namely the child who knows nuts and nuts and pebbles, and the child who knows how to return things, the halachas are the same. Don't make these arbitrary distinctions between them. So what does that mean? In what way are they the same? My dav da achasi. Rav Chizah said the pshat is echad zev yechad zev zech liatzvah zech liacherim. The bottom line is he's still a kotter. He's under the age of a mitzvah. So in both cases, he has the ability to be zecher for himself, but it's impossible for him to be zecher for other people. So now we have a machlekes with Rabbi Asi and Shmuel about the following question. A child picks up something, he's given something, presented something for himself, that's going to work. But for him to be zecher for somebody else, so Rabbi Asi claimed sometimes he reaches the age where he's mature enough to do that. And Shmuel said, forget, it's out of the question. So this now sets the stage for the next part of the sugya. Is there such a thing as a katan being zocha, a katan picking up something on behalf of another person? Well, that's your next time. We'll figure out what all the riots back and forth after that. Much like it's the Asi and Shmuel.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Good day, everybody.